Good to see you. We appreciate your presence. We hope, if at all possible, you'll be back with us later today when we assemble once more for worship. I want to read first as we begin this lesson, because you may think it's, if you look at it, it's somewhat odd in some ways, but it's right down the line of truth, and I hope I can show you that as we get into it. In 1 Peter, the third chapter, Peter writes this, verse 20 through 22, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was prepared, wherein few that his eight souls were saved by water. The like figure one to even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Noah's salvation in mind. You've been taught, if you're a member of the Lord's church, or you've learnt the Bible well on yourself, that God has had three different plans of salvation. He's had the patriarchal plan, which existed during the time of Genesis and up to Exodus 20, or the giving of the law. He's had the Mosaic plan, which started there at the giving of the law, and Jesus nailed that law to the cross, and it ended there. And he's had the New Testament plan of salvation. Now this might be a little bit confusing, and I'd be glad to sit down with you and let you read your Bible and show you that that's exactly what the Bible teaches. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, by whom all things. And when I start this, I want to notice that there are three different ones, but they are much alike in so many ways. The blood of Christ had to go backward to cleanse those under patriarchy and to those under the law. They had to do different things to reach that forgiveness of God, because they did not have the New Testament plan of salvation as provided before me and you in the Gospels. But if you stop to think about it, there are many principles that are much alike. Noah's salvation and mine. In Genesis, the sixth chapter, and I'm not going to have to take the time to read this, you read about the evil of the time of Noah. Man's thoughts were evil only continually. You read about that God was grieved at their sin, and he was sorry that he had made man. He wept because of it, or he was very sorry at least for that particular thing. And you read there that we are going to be in the same way. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what the Spirit predicted for our time. And the Bible says, in the last days there shall be coming a falling away. And he goes on and describes it. The times are evil. If you're not aware of the times of evil, just turn your TV on. Or go buy a magazine rack. Or watch a little television at all the nightclubs around us and what's going on there. Or study what's going on in many of our schools by not all, but many of our young people today in our colleges. You realize that if drinking is evil, and dancing is evil, and cursing is evil, and nakedness is evil, that we live in an evil time. If you don't, you ought to. Noah dared to be different. We sometimes think of Daniel and dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to believe in God and dare to make it known. But that Noah also had to be different. But when the Bible describes all this, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Nobody has ever found grace that didn't look for it. So he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, we also must dare to be different. Many members of the Lord's church and many religious people think Well, you don't have to really change your lifestyle. Well, with the help of the Lord, you most certainly do. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, to a very worldly church, Paul said, "Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be ye separate. And I will become a God to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters." Paul said in Titus 2, 11 and 12, "The grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." But how does it appear? Teaching us. Teaching us what? Now this is God's plan of salvation. We all know it's a matter of grace. Teaching us the denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. So God does call us. Paul makes it so clear in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world. Don't dress like the world. Don't talk like the world. Don't think like the world. Don't worship like the world. Don't obey God like the world. Be different. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the Bible tells us that we must do that. God gave Noah a plan of salvation, and he gave a plan to us. If you've ever studied the book of Romans very much, you realize that the golden text, or what makes Romans Romans, is Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, and also to the Greeks. The gospel there is the good news of Jesus. But we need to remember when we study that book of Romans that Paul in Romans 1 talks about the sins of the Gentiles. And Paul in Romans 2 talks about the sins of the Jews. And Paul in Romans 3 says, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in the middle of chapter 2, the Bible says this, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." He's speaking there to all the world to read, and he's saying that there was those people under patriarchy. They didn't have the law of Christ. There was the Jews there, but they'll be judged by the law to which they lived under. And we will also. But there are certain familiars about that we need to recognize about this. God gave them a plan. He gave us a plan. In Genesis 7, 5, 9, and 16, I've had time to read it, but it says this. "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him." God is always required every man to do all that he has commanded him to do. Now that's not a matter of perfection, that's a matter of obedience. Do all that God, you can't do halfway. Why do we teach all the plan of salvation? Because one part of it will mean that you don't have it. Why do we teach the five items of worship? Because one part of it means you don't have it. And so that's the reason we teach it. Now the Bible says in Matthew 28, 18, "All authority," Jesus has been resurrected, "has been given to me." Matthew 17, there on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was Moses. That was the law of Moses and Elijah, the prophets. And God took them away and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." We ought to know by that God expects us to obey Jesus Christ, the New Testament, not the Old Testament, and when it comes to the particulars of salvation. And so here we come to this, and the Bible says that all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach. That didn't say go ye therefore and pray. He didn't say go ye therefore and see a great light. He said go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even in the world. And Mark 16, it says the same thing in a little different way. It says, all power is given to me, and go therefore, and he that believeth, and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now that's, in a nutshell, what we're leading to the plan of salvation. All of them had to have the blood of Jesus. You could not obey anything unless you reached the blood of Jesus. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, and he said, "This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." There is no way that you can find in the Bible that you can reach the benefits of forgiveness in the blood by partaking the Lord's Supper. You can show your gratitude and love, You can show your hope and your salvation by doing that. But the Bible plainly teaches you, and we'll notice that as we get here, that the blood of Christ can be reached by us. Now, only the blood of Christ can forgive sins. And if you can find something that forgives sins, it proves beyond a shadow of doubt that you found something that will help you reach the blood of Christ. It's as simple as that. That the religious world doesn't understand that. They think they can reach the blood by prayer, or by being good, or by saying some Hail Marys, by counting beads, by attending worship services. They cannot do it. They cannot reach the blood of Christ, as we'll notice in this particular thing. Jesus gave his blood. Now let's look at Noah's plan and our plan. The Bible says, by faith Noah built an ark. Now, how did he build it? By faith. God said to Noah, build me an ark. Now Noah could have said to God, you never said that to anybody else. Noah could have said, well, I just got three sons and they don't know how to chop nor saw. I want to tell you one thing. If you have a problem with our plan of salvation, you can take it up with Noah. Noah worked while the ark was preparing. And he worked and he worked and he worked. And then God said, take all them animals in. Now, we sometimes complain about what God puts in the church with us. But how would you like to have all them stinking, hungry, hollering animals in there with you for a year? And besides that, in the same kitchen, four women. You talking about problems for the year is over? I guess there must have been some. God had a plan to save the world and save Noah and save all. And that was the plan. And it required, of course, faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It required obedience. There's never been a plan of God for salvation that did not require obedience. God told Eve and Adam, work this garden, plant it and till it. God told all those in the Old Testament to obey what the Old Testament said. And God required obedience. Now, does the New Testament say that God requires obedience out of us, or can we can just wait and have salvation by having a deathbed repentance and confession when we die? We're going to find out about that this morning. Can you wait till you're dying and say, Lord, save me, Lord, save me, having done nothing until you get there? I just hope that you'll think about that. And so the Bible says, he became the author of eternal salvation, Hebrews 5:8-9, to all them that obey him. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, enter in through the gates into the city. And in case you misunderstood those, Matthew 7:21-27 will put you through the... I don't want to say that. Will get you there without any problem. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, now you can't misunderstand that, shall be likened to a man that built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and it stood because it's founded on a rock. Heard and do what God told you to do. Stood. Then I will liken unto a foolish man, the man hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not. He built his house upon sand. What was his sin? Was he a drunkard? No. Not as far as we know. Was he a liar? I don't think he'd get there that way, but that doesn't say that. But he heard the sayings of Jesus and paid no attention to them. If you don't believe that what I'm going to tell you to do to be saved for this lesson is over, is the words of Jesus, then you don't believe that he existed and was talked about and quoted in the New Testament. You can't believe that, because it comes right out of that. Now, also, Noah was saved by grace. If you read down there, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then we read Ephesians 2:6-8, by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Somebody said, that's it, not of works, not of works. It's not of our own works. You cannot work your way to heaven, making up your own merit and doing what you think ought to be right. But works of obedience to God will save you. If you don't believe this, go home and read James 2. It's so clear in James 2 that you'll have to have help to misunderstand it. Faith without works is dead, being alone. That's the only time faith and alone are connected, James 2:24. And faith without works is dead, being alone. And that passage explains that you've got to work the works of obedience. You can't earn your salvation, but you've got to do that. Now this next one I want to spend a little more time on because it's the one that everybody doesn't believe. Brethren, whether you believe it or not, there was water in the plan of Noah. There was water. So as I believe that, well, I'm glad you do, because the Bible says very plainly, as we just got through reading, that as there was, and by the way, I'm not at least a bit ashamed to tell you this, because Peter records it from the pen of from the mind of the Holy Spirit. When once the long-suffering of God waited in, while the ark was preparing, wherein few as eight souls were saved by water. Saved by water. That doesn't mean their sins were given through water. It means that water was there commanded of them, and they reached the blood by doing what they were commanded. The like figure, now this to us, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. How in the world can you go to judgment not believing that? Baptism doth also now save us. That's got to be baptism in water. Now that baptism, the water there does not wash your sins away, but you reach the blood of Jesus in that water, as I'm going to show you that these passages teach, as I've already set up for you. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, it's not a bath, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. How? By doing what you know God has told you to do. If you've done what your father and mother told you to do this morning, you can have a good conscience. If not, sit back there and think. When they go to my room, I had two daughters. And when you go to the room, you take your life in your own hand. You have to expect what, go through this way. And my wife believes putting everything in its place. And so this was really an issue for us for some time. But you, as you notice here, we find that it was a way for us to reach the blood of Jesus. And so that's what it says. Now, Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If you've been taught that he that believeth is saved and shall be baptized, you've been taught the wrong order. You've been taught something the Bible does not teach. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Is not he that is baptized, he that believeth is saved and shall be baptized. There's a world of difference in that. Well, the Bible, again, we done couldn't use those two, so I'll go to Acts 2:38. The Bible says in Acts 2:38, they said, "Men and brethren," verse 37, "what shall we do?" This is New Testament, and this is where you live. "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sin." Exactly the same wording as Matthew 26:28. "This is my blood, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins." It means, of course, in order to have remission of sins. And that's what it says. Someone says, "Why are you doing that?" Because so many people have missed that. So many people have missed that. And I don't want to be held accountable for that particular thing. And so, the crown passage on this is not on there, but if you really want to understand this message and you had any problem with it, read Acts 9:1-6, and then read Acts 22, that chapter, and you'll find out that Paul was on the road to Damascus, and Jesus struck him down with a bright light. Now, you can be on the road to Damascus and struck down by a bright light if you want. Thank you that. I don't think it's going to happen to you because it's done miraculous anymore. And so he said, "Lord," when he found out it was Jesus, "what wilt thou have me to do?" Acts 22:17. God sent a preacher with a message to Paul. He sent me with the same message. If you are a penitent, believing, confessing sinner, this is the message. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Aren't you glad that God made it that clear? There's not a person on earth who's ever read this New Testament who cannot see that truth. Now, you may not want to believe it. You may think that puts it in the water rather than faith in God and in the blood of Christ. But that does not do that. Now, the next thing we want to know after we added to the Lord's church that way and washed away, Noah had to walk with God. And Noah sinned after he got out of the flood. He came through that flood, did well. I would say with flying colors, wouldn't you? He came out, he offered, at Genesis 8, offered great sacrifices to God. The Bible says, though, that Noah planted a vineyard. Now, I don't know where he knew about the qualities of grapes and wine and so forth. I suppose that he did, but somehow he didn't. And so the Bible says he drunk wine. And the Bible says plainly, be not drunk on wine wherein there's excess. Now some people say that is not a command of God. The Bible tells you that in the New Testament. Be not drunk on wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in Psalms, hymns, and spirit song. Many members of the Lord's church quote all day the last half of that and still try to misapply the first half. Be not drunk on wine, where's the sense? Be filled with the Spirit. Just as it teaches singing, it teaches you don't drink. And that is abundantly clear here. And so the Bible says that here we have it given unto us what to do. And so here we go, that we are saved by water, we're saved by walking with God. Revelation 2 and verse 10, the Bible tells us that we be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a life. Now, God didn't stop here because the Bible teaches all. After Noah sinned, he looked on his son's nakedness, and God cursed his son and cursed the nation because of it. And I don't understand all that. I just tell you the truth of it. And the Bible teaches that. And Noah sinned. He had to get forgiveness, and so he had to do what God told him to do. He had to go back to the old law and offer sacrifices and do that. Now, we have ours is clearly taught. And 1 John 1, 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we do not sin. Who's the we there? 1 John was written to Christians. It was not written to people out in the world. It says, if we say we have not sinned, we are a liar and the truth is not in us. You know, when God says something, he means you to understand it. He don't mean, well, you better watch that. He just says, you're a liar. Now, I don't talk like that, even with the Bible anymore. I try not to straight that, but I try to get it straight as I can. Truth in us. But if we confess our sins, that's Christians. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He never said that to an alien out in the world in the book of Acts at all. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Arise and be baptized and wash away the sin. See, here is water. What to be hinder me to be baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stand still and made the confession, and both went down in the water. Sirs, what must we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, this was written to the Christians, and it includes a different plan of forgiveness of sins for the daily sins of a Christian. If we will, John says, confess our sins. And, of course, we add to that James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. We add to that, of course, the example of Acts 9:20-25, where a man was baptized as a Christian, forgiven of his past sins, added to the Lord's church, and he saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He tried to buy the power to lay his hands on others and give them the Holy Ghost. There are people today on TV think they bought that power, but they hadn't, but they think they got it. And so he tried to buy it. And the preacher said to him, thou art in the gall of bitterness, in the bond of iniquity. Repent therefore and pray God that perhaps the thought of thy heart might be forgiven thee. Now who was that preacher? That was the great apostle Peter. Could Peter have been wrong? Of course not, he couldn't have been wrong. He was led by the Holy Spirit. You are to repent of your sins as a Christian, that's turn from them. You are to confess them, and you are to pray God and ask your brethren to pray for you. That's the second part there. And so here we come then to the fact that there is a plan of salvation. And if you don't believe there's water in the plan to be saved from your past sins, you just don't believe the Bible. You don't believe the Bible because that was in the plan. And if you're here this morning and you haven't obeyed that, think about it seriously. What if Noah had refused to build the ark? What if his sons had refused to get on the ark? God made a plan. It would work if they would do what they were told to do. God's made a plan for me and you. Don't go to judgment not having obeyed the command to be baptized, the whole plan of salvation. But I know you'll hear from now to doomsday that water, there's nothing in the water. I never did say there's anything in the water. Water simply is a method of obedience. The power is in the blood. The only way you can reach the blood in the New Testament is not to take the Lord's Supper. It's not to pray. You won't find it taught. You'll find it taught by obeying the command to be baptized by burial in water, and that's a cultivated act to reach the blood of Jesus. It takes it all, but that's it. Now, let's look at what we have concluded. Noah believed God, and so must we. Do you think it was hard for Noah to believe God? As far as I can understand, it never had rained until the flood. A mist went up and covered the earth. They had never had a flood. But God said, Noah, you need to come out of this mess. The Bible says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he prepared an ark. Noah did one other thing that you can do, and I want to remind you very plainly. You can not only save yourself, you can save those you influence. I've said this to people, and I really mean it. I said, as far as I can tell, you're the only hope that these two children will ever learn the plan of salvation and obey it. The denominational world is not going to teach it to them. The ungodly world is not going to teach it to them. The schools of our land's not going to teach it to them. Our colleges are not going to teach it to them. And nobody going to teach them that. But those faithful members of the Lord's church that believe it. And if they don't obey that, just as certain you'd be lost in the flood, you're going to be lost. And we need to teach them that. And I've got all day. I'd be glad to let you read it for you today, right here in this building, after we dismiss, or anywhere you want to. The plan is clear. God has made a plan to save you. It included the blood of Jesus, but it includes your obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, not only that, but as we look at this, Noah had to walk with God. Noah walked with God, and was, the Bible says, and God found Noah to be a just man in a wicked world. He's going to find us likewise with God's help. But God be thanked that though you were the servant of sin, you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants, the slaves, that's a Greek word, slave, of righteousness. That's what the Bible teaches. Noah was saved by grace, and we're saved by grace. You don't earn your salvation when you're baptized. You think Noah earned his salvation by working 100 years building an ark? Well, you know, we'd say that seems like might be. No, it didn't. It didn't pay for that. And we certainly haven't earned ours. Noah was saved by obedience, and so are we. God be thanked that though you were the servants of sin, you obeyed from that heart, that former doctrine. Paul went into Corinth. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was a heathen city. It needed the blood of Jesus, Acts 18:8. The Corinthians heard, believing, and were baptized. Noah, water was in God's plan for Noah, and water was in God's plan for us. And I want to make that plain this morning. I'm not trying to honor water. I'm trying to get you to obey God. And we live in an age where people want to apologize for a command of God. I've got no apology to make for baptism. I know it's that. And if God wrote me in the New Testament, said, the like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us, I'm not going to believe any doctrine that says it has nothing to do with my salvation. And I hope you're not. And I don't say this to hurt anybody. I want to get you to heaven. And I believe that that's necessary to do that. The Bible says that we have to turn around and therefore live for God. If you're in this audience today, let me remind you what Jesus really did for you. What Jesus did for you. The Bible says, as we read about it, that God decided to save the world. You know, it was a high price to pay. There was nothing that would forgive sin. The blood of bulls and goats would not forgive sin. The knowledge of mankind and his great intellect, and man has great intellect, could not forgive sins. And so the Bible says that God came to the conclusion what could be done. And the only thing that would work would be a sinless life and his only son. I don't know what I would do if God told me to give my only son to get to heaven. He did tell me to give myself, and I got to do that the best I can. But God gave his only son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes you're healed. Think for just a moment of the cross as we close this lesson. I don't know how it was to die on a cross. I have trouble really understanding it. But I do know that it was such a terrible death that you couldn't kill a Roman citizen that way, no matter what he'd done. You just could not crucify him. And the Bible says that they took Jesus. And the Bible says that they scourged him. And we don't know what scourging is. None of you have ever seen it. I haven't either. But they took a whip with many tails, embedded with bones, metal, and they beat you in the back. It was not uncommon for your organs to show when they got through with you. And so they beat you until you were all nearly dead. Then the Bible says they took a crown of thorns and placed it on his head and bowed the knee before him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then the Bible says they spit upon him and they took him out and he carried the cross as far as he could and got another to help him and made it there and they nailed him to the cross and hung him between heaven and earth. I'm told that the only way you can get a breath under those conditions is to push upward on the nails that hold you and get a breath and then relax again. He was there for 6 hours. Anytime something happened to me and I feel bad for just a minute or two, I can't hardly take it. He was there for 6 hours. But I do know this, if I'm lost, I'll go to hell and suffer forever. The Bible plainly teaches. The Bible says they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Why? Because they did not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says that he hung there on the cross and they made fun of him and ridiculed him. And of course, went about their lives as if nothing ever happened. The world cares little that Jesus died for their sins. I hope you're not among them. Jesus died that you might be saved. He died that I might be saved. There is no doubt that his plan will work because the blood of Christ will cleanse you. And there's no doubt that you've got to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized to reach the blood of Jesus. If you're not, and you haven't done any one of these, and you go to judgment, you're going to be lost. But God be thanked. Though you were the servants of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. If you need to, I pray God you'll do it while together we stand and while we sing.